The Numbering of the People, Chapter 78. It is such a beautiful sight when we see the wheat and the barley, the oats and the rye ripe in the fields. We call this the time of harvest. Everyone is busy working. Vehicles ride to and fro to bring the grain into the barns. Then there is gladness because a plentiful harvest means plenty to eat. But when the harvest is a failure, there is scarcity of food and there is famine. This is serious, very serious. The people become weak and thin. Yes, they will die from hunger if the famine lasts too long. Famine prevailed in some countries during and after the last war. But this famine was from a different cause than the famine of David's time. We will tell you of a famine during David's reign. Year after year, for 3 years, the harvest was poor. The famine was throughout the entire land of Israel. The little children cried for bread, and there was none. Lord, why dost thou punish us in this way? Praised David. Why dost thou cause the harvest to be a failure every year? The Lord made known to David the reason why this famine prevailed. Years ago, in the days of Saul's reign, something terrible had happened. Saul, the first king of Israel, made an effort to destroy the Gibeonites. You still remember who they were, don't you? They were the inhabitants of Gibeon, who had made a covenant with Joshua. Joshua at that time swore to them with an oath that he would not slay them. Nevertheless, Saul wanted to kill them. Thus Saul broke this oath, and for this reason the Lord punished Israel with famine. Now that David knows the reason for this punishment of the Lord, he tries to rectify it. What must I do? He asks of the Gibeonites. What do you want? Oh, they answer, we do not want silver or gold. If you will give us 7 sons of Saul, 7 men of the families of Saul to be hanged, then we will be satisfied. That was a difficult problem for David. For who must he take? Living with him in his palace was Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. But David would not take him. He did not want to because Mephibosheth was a son of his noble friend Jonathan. But who then? Ah, this is what he did. Michal's sister, Merab, the oldest daughter of Saul, who really should have been given to David as his wife, since Saul had made that promise, was married to Adriel. She had received 5 children, 5 sons. David took these children and 2 other sons of Saul, and these 7 men were hanged for punishment because of Saul's wickedness. And the Lord again gave rain. Again the grain grew, and the Israelites again received bread to eat. We can see from this that the Lord will punish sin. So the Lord will also punish us for our sins if we do not receive upright repentance on account of sin, and our sins are not forgiven. I command you to go and number the people of Israel and Judah. David sits in his magnificent palace. Joab, the general, and the other officers of the army stand before him. He has called them to come to him. For what reason? David has become a great king. All enemies are defeated, and they all must bring gifts to David. The nation of Israel lives peacefully and prosperously, which is a great difference from former days when the enemy would so often invade the land and the Israelites were cruelly oppressed. How did all this come to pass? Only because the Lord helped David, because the Lord blessed David. Thus the Lord has made David so great. Alas, now the king becomes proud because of his riches and his power. David, that is wrong. The Lord only should receive all the honor for it. However, David forgot that for a while. He would like to know how powerful he really is. He wants to know how many soldiers he really has. For that purpose, he calls Joab and the other officers. They must go and number the people. Children, the Lord made a promise to Abraham that his seed would become a great nation, so great that they could not be numbered, even as the stars that are in the heavens. The Lord fulfilled his promise, and Israel has become a great nation. Still, David wants to have the people numbered. And what is the real reason? It is foolish, sinful pride. Joab shakes his head. He has no desire to do it. He recognizes the evil and pride in David. O king, he protests, why is it necessary? I hope you will become much greater than you now are. But you must not make us number the people. What profit will you derive from it? David becomes angry. In anger, his voice sounds, I am your king, and I order you to number all Israel. Go. I give you orders to do it. They go, against their will, for they dare not refuse. They go through the whole land, into each city, into each village. It requires much labor. It is a tremendous amount of work. Today it is much easier. Whether we live in a city or a village, the names of all the people are written on the records which are kept in the capitals, either county or state or both. If we want to know the number of the people, all we have to do is to count the names on the records. However, census is taken every 10 years in our nation. This is equivalent to numbering the people. But this method was not used in the time of David. For months, Joab and the officers remained away. At last, after 9 months and 20 days, they returned to Jerusalem. Still, Joab did not complete numbering all the people. Now, how large is my army? How many soldiers have I? Asked David curiously. Joab answers, the tribe of Judah has 470,000 soldiers, and the other tribes together have 1,100,000 soldiers. Thus David has a total of more than 1.5 million soldiers. Isn't it a large army? Something to be proud about? David, now that you know it, are you not happy? Joab and his helpers go away. They did not like this work, but they had to do it. David forced them. The king is left alone. He sits with his hands under his head. He sighs. Sighing? Why? Doesn't he now know how strong his army is? Doesn't he now have his way? Isn't this sufficient? Yes, that is true, but still, he is not satisfied. Still, he is not happy about it. He feels that he has done wrong. He has been a fool, a high-minded fool, for this numbering was not done to the honor of God, but for his own honor, and that was sinful. He repented of his actions. Lord, he prays, I have sinned. I have done wrong. Forgive me. Take away my iniquity. He is restless. He is agitated. He is nervous. Oh, if only he had not done it. If, but too late. It is done. It cannot be undone. He sighs and stares dejectedly before him. He is grieved because of his pride. He is ashamed before the Lord. His conscience accuses him. Not long thereafter, the prophet Gad enters the royal palace. King, the Lord sent me to you, and I have come in his name. David silently listens, but he is nervous. Why does the prophet come? At any other time, this did not trouble him. Now it does. Children, by sinning, we will never have peace. Neither will you if you sin. Three things I will name to you, continues Gad. One of them you must choose. You have sinned, because you had numbered the people out of pride. The Lord will punish this sin. Now you may choose which punishment the Lord will send. Hearken. Shall there be 3 years of famine in the land? Or would you prefer war to come for 3 months, and you will be pursued by the enemy? Or shall the Lord send a pestilence among the people, which will last for 3 days? Which of these three things do you choose, and what answer must I give to the Lord? The prophet is silent as he waits for an answer. David shudders when he hears these three punishments. For a moment it is very quiet. He must choose, but what? Each one is just as bad as the other. If he will choose the famine, the people will suffer grief and misery throughout the entire land. But if the enemy is permitted to overpower them for 3 months, that would be terrible. How many people would then be killed? Everything also would be in ruins. And the 3 days of pestilence? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that dreadful? It is so difficult, so very difficult for David. He does not know. He really does not know what to say. But he must say something, because the prophet still waits for an answer. He must. And yet he cannot and dare not choose. I am in a great strait, David lamented. Again, a painful silence follows. At last he speaks with a soft voice. I dare not make a choice. I will leave it to the Lord himself. But one thing I would like to request. Let me not fall into the hand of man. Do not let me be punished through man, but let the Lord punish me. With this answer, the prophet goes away, and this answer he brings to the Lord. The Lord sends pestilence upon Israel. An angel of the Lord, an angel of destruction, comes to carry out this punishment. Thousands and thousands of the Israelites become sick and die. The dreadful pestilence reigns over the entire land. In a short time, 70,000 people die, men and women, children and gray-haired people. In the homes of thousands of the Israelites, mourning and sorrow prevailed. Isn't the consequence of sin dreadful? The streets of Jerusalem, the capital, are quiet and deserted. All the people have fled within their homes. There they hide, trembling with fear. Why are they so fearful? There is nothing which they see, is there? No? Look up toward the sky. The angel of the Lord is seen, with his sword drawn. That sword is stretched out over Jerusalem. Oh, now the pestilence also will come into Jerusalem. Now the people in Jerusalem will become sick and die. Hundreds, perhaps thousands, will die. No one knows. For that reason, the streets of Jerusalem are empty and deserted, and the inhabitants have fled tremblingly into their homes. David also sees the angel. He too trembles, but not for himself in the first place, but for the people. Oh, his heart burns with compassion for these poor people. Lord, he prays, I have sinned. Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? But these sheep, these guiltless people, have done nothing. Punish me, Lord. Punish me and my family. Do you hear that, boys and girls? Do you also do that? If your friend receives punishment for something you have done, are you silent, and do you let him be punished? That is terrible. That is cowardly. No, you must honestly admit it and say, I did it. You owe this to your friend. David was not such a coward. He says it honestly. Lord, I did it. I have sinned. Oh, punish me, but let this people go free. Yes, in this David really is right, don't you think? David ordered the people to be numbered, but the Israelites could not be held responsible, could they? The Lord should really punish David, and the people are punished. Do you think this is right? That is a difficult question, isn't it? No doubt you dare not give an answer, because you cannot say that the Lord does not deal uprightly, and still, what shall you answer? Children, we have repeated again and again, and may you ever remember this, the Lord cannot be unjust. Everything that God does is good. Everything that God does is full of wisdom. But we cannot always see this. In this instance, it seems unrighteous, but it is not therefore unrighteous. There is no question about it. The Israelites are not punished because they numbered the people, for David did this. Joab and the officers tried to stop this from being done. However, the Israelites had called that ungodly Absalom to be their king, but David, the anointed of the Lord, they had cast out. That was a great sin of the Israelites. And now the Lord used David, whom they had driven out, to punish the Israelites. We people can be mistaken, but the Lord never makes a mistake, for the Lord cannot make mistakes. But although David did not understand these dealings of the Lord, he nevertheless had grief over his own sins and prayed, Lord, punish me and my father's house. The Lord knows what is going on in the heart of David, and the Lord hears his sighing and praying. The prophet Gad again goes to the palace. Go to the threshing floor of Araunah, and there offer burnt offerings, he commands. David immediately goes. Araunah sees the king coming and goes to meet him. Araunah's sons, who had seen the angel too, hid themselves from fear of death, as though that would help them. No, one can never run away from death. What are you coming for? Araunah asked, astonished. I want to buy this threshing floor, answers David. I will bring an offering to the Lord, that the plague may be stayed. Take whatever you have need of, and that for nothing, Araunah offers him liberally. Refusing positively, the king says, No, I shall buy it. Would I bring an offering unto the Lord of your goods? Araunah is willing and sells David everything which he has need of for the offering. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. These offerings are accepted by God. This dreadful plague does not come completely in Jerusalem. Oh, the Lord is so good. the greatest part of the nation's capital is spared. David is very thankful. He put his trust in God, and he is not put to shame. Those who, in truth, put their trust in God shall never be put to shame.